ladies. It's nice to be back with you again for another look into God's Word. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father God, as we delve into this passage tonight, help us to cast a light on our own soul and our own motives and our own hearts. Help us to hold our actions and our thoughts up against the mirror of your word so that we can conform more closely to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage I'd like to look at tonight is from John chapter 8. It comes from a time when Jesus is at Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. And as you know, when he went to Jerusalem, he would sit in the temple courts and teach. And this is from one of those days. And as you also remember from studying the Bible or hearing about the Bible, Jesus was very popular. But there were those who didn't like him. There were those who wanted to stop him. There were those who were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him to bring charges against him. And this is from one of those instances. And to get a little bit of a feel for the narrative of this story, I would like to read John 8, 1 through 11 from The Message. Jesus went across to Mount Olives, but he was soon back in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The religion scholars and the Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him, badgering him. He straightened up and said, "The sinless one among you, go first, throw the stone." Stooping down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?"
"No one, Master."
"Neither do I," said Jesus. "Go on your way. From now on, don't sin." Imagine that you were in her place. Taken in the act of adultery, an angry mob of religious men storm into your bedroom to drag you from your bed, take you to the temple, and make you stand before Jesus and a crowd of people there to have church. Ashamed, you look at the ground as the shocked crowd looks at you, humiliated and without excuse. Jesus, however, does not declare you either guilty or innocent, but with a few words, it is your accusers on trial here, and not you. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, had pierced them and proved a discerner of the thoughts of their hearts. When all was said and done, you know, it will be just you and Jesus. As the religious leaders walked away from the scandalous scene, all that is left is Jesus and you, a sinner. And it's going to be that way for every one of us sinners at the end of time. We're going to stand before Jesus. But Jesus does not punish you, but was punished for you. Jesus could have put the woman to death, but instead he forgave her and took her place on the cross to die for her sin. Jesus forgives sin,
While we tend to deny our sin, diminish our sin, or blame others for our sin, Jesus simply forgives it. Jesus lifts his condemnation. Jesus tells this woman that he does not condemn her. Like her, you can live without condemnation for your past sin, because as Jesus gives her dignity, he also forgives her. Now, how we respond to the sin in somebody else can fall into one or two categories. And I'm going to divide them tonight into stone throwers and stupors. You know, that crowd that came with Jesus was ready to throw stones at this woman. They were troublemakers. Proverbs 6:12 through 14 says, "A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy." And from Psalm 37, verses 12 and 13, "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming." So stone throwers are plotters. But God knows what the end will be. Stone throwers are legalistic. Luke 6:6 through 11 gives a story about Jesus and his disciples. "On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it?' He looked around at them all and then said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." They were legalistic in their judgment. Stone throwers are also vision impaired, and they don't even know it. Matthew 7:1 through 5 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Stone throwers are vision impaired. They can't see, for their own sin is in the way. Stone throwers also judge by human standards. Further along in John chapter 8, Jesus says this, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' The Pharisees challenged him, 'Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid.' Jesus answered, 'Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. The other witness is the Father who sent me. Stone throwers also plot to bring others into judgment. Psalm 36, 1-4. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. And stone throwers are not vessels of the grace of God. From Luke chapter 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, the Pharisee would not extend God's grace to the tax collector, and he just bragged about himself. Now, people who are stupors are like Jesus. Stupors are people who judge themselves before anyone else. The hypocritical religious leaders who brought this woman to be judged did not judge themselves. They did not care about their likely setting her up for the trap. They didn't care that they watched her in the act. They didn't care that they dragged her into a public mob for what should have been a private matter. But Christ expects better of us. He calls on us to be more mindful of our own sin rather than the sin of others. Psalm 32, 1-5 says, Blessed is the one on whose whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Stupors are people who judge themselves and are eager to repent of their sins. Stupors are people who are focused on restoration and healing, not condemnation. This isn't to say that sin is ignored. Jesus did not excuse or pass over sin, ever. Rather, he gently called the sinner to repentance, to change. You know, sometimes in our day, the gospel is presented in such a way that real repentance from sin doesn't seem to be required. But this is not the true gospel. There is no forgiveness, no new birth, no change without repentance. Jesus gives this woman grace, even though she's guilty. He doesn't condemn her, but he sets her free. Go, he says, but do not sin again. One who is forgiven must give up sin. Jesus gives mercy, but he does not overlook sin. Rather, the goal of the encounter is to restore a lost child of God to fellowship with God and bring spiritual and emotional healing into their life. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Stupors point sinners to Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So said Peter on the day of Pentecost. To the crowd of people who just days before had called for the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, he pointed them to forgiveness and to Christ. And from Acts 3, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." When you point sinners to Christ, you give them a way to be refreshed and renewed and made whole again. Stupors also encourage people to go in a new direction. Jesus calls us to an alternative lifestyle of holiness to God, and from now on to sin no more. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." When you come to Christ, there is no condemnation, and you have to walk in that new path and in that new direction. And stupors encourage people to do this. Romans 12:1-2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." When someone comes to Christ, their life has to take a new direction. And that new direction involves a lot of sacrifice. It involves renewing of the mind. It involves surrender to the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, when we come across somebody who is a sinner, we want to offer them that new life, that new direction. We want to encourage them to repent. We want to encourage them to follow Christ. The religious leaders of Jesus' day wanted to have this woman stoned to death for her sin. Jesus wouldn't allow their plot to succeed. Jesus summoned them to judge themselves rather than the woman. Jesus made them put their stones down. I beg you, put your stone down and act like Jesus. Our Father God, help us as we come in contact with people who don't know you, who others would point fingers at and talk about and condemn, that we will take a moment and try to show them the way of Christ, to be compassionate toward them and to show them mercy and grace and encourage them to leave their life of sin. Help us, Father, not to be stone throwers and not to be plotters against people and not to be the kind of person that complains about somebody else's sin and doesn't see the sin in our own life. Hold us accountable, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.